My name is Christine Schimmel, and I'm with Frank Young in his house on Kenwood Road in Netheredge. It's the 23rd of June 2011. Would you like to introduce yourself then, Frank?
Yeah, I'm Frank Young, born in January 1931, so I'm 80. I was 80 in January this year. We've lived in Netheredge for the past, well, we shall be 6 years in September. And before that, we lived in Beechey. And before that, I lived in Greedless. And then before that, from 1933 until 1956, I lived at Totley on number 25 Green Oak Road. And my mother, she lived there until she was 82, and she passed away in 1982. She would have been 111 this year, actually.
So you weren't born in Totley?
No, I was born in Netheredge Hospital.
Right.
In fact, one of my sons, my eldest son, he lives on that hospital site now.
Oh, does he? Yeah. So your first memories must have been in Totley, because you were only three,
yes,
weren't you?
Yes, well, quite a few experiences, apparently. I was two when I moved there. And about four or five, apparently I fell through the bedroom window and survived.
Gosh.
I don't know. I must have fallen into some soft asphalt or something like that, but I managed to survive. And I went to Totley School, All Saints School. Started there in 1936. And then I left there in 1942. I didn't pass my 11 plus, so my mother moved me from Totley and I went to Aberdeen Council School. But I was in Totley all during the war, obviously. The Cubs, I joined the Cubs when I was 9, which was in 1940, and the Cubs, one of their meeting places was in a tea room which was at the side of the Crown Inn. In the car park of the Crown Inn, there was a, before the car park was made, there was a tea room, and that's where one of the meeting places for the Cubs.
So did all little boys join the Cubs?
Not at all, no. It wasn't everybody's cup of tea.
Right.
I had the time in their life.
Did you?
Oh yeah.
Who else was in the Cubs at the same time as you? Can you remember the names?
No, I can't remember the names of people in the Cubs. Obviously, now it's a long time ago, so I've forgotten that bit.
Were they school friends of yours?
Yes, they were all school friends, one of the places we used to meet was in a house on Sunnyvale, but I'm afraid I've forgotten the name of the people that we used to, where we used to meet. It was definitely on Sunnyvale, one of Sunnyvale Road or Crescent or whatever they call it, I've forgotten.
So it sounds as if to start with it was a bit temporary, you didn't have anywhere...
Nothing permanent. It was in, as you say, people's homes or in this tea room. In fact, I think we also used to meet, I'm not positive, but there was a cross site, the pub in the at the top of Totley, the Cross, there was a tea room over the old stables, and I seem to think we used to meet there as well. I'm not positive, but I think we did.
And what sort of things were you doing then in the Cubs?
I can't remember much about what we did. Obviously we were outdoors, a lot of outdoor activities, but I can't really remember what we did with the Cubs.
Because you're, I mean, surrounded by the walls and the countryside and the woods.
Yes, we lived outside, obviously, in the fields and in the woods, yeah.
And can you remember any of the Cub leaders, who they were or what they were like?
Yes, definitely.
Oh, you've got a piece of paper there.
In fact, as far as I know, Edmund Short, who lives down south somewhere, he is still in contact with either John Perkington or other members of the group that meets for the reunions, for the school reunion. I know it's either three or four years ago that Edmund Short contacted someone in the reunion group, so he was definitely one of them. But there are quite a few names that I can remember. John Tinsdale, he had the shop, his parents had the shop at the top of Main Avenue.
Ah, the provisions shop on the, on the corner opposite the butchers and the
vendors. Yes, on the opposite side.
Yeah.
John Leeson, he was a dentist, and as far as I know, he lives. He's older than me. He must be 85, could even be 90, I'm not sure. As far as I know, John Leeson lives on Door Road, up at Door. The others, there's just one of them, a chap called Pip Turton. He lived on Laverdean. As far as I know, he lives out at Edale. But as regards the others, I think they've passed away.
So there was a lot of people involved then, wasn't there?
Oh, yes, there was a lot of people. In those days, anyone, well, I don't know about anyone, could be a leader or anything like that. But yes, people were very keen to help.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big thing nowadays. We have difficulty with all these rules and regulations getting help, people to help. But in those days, there was no problem.
Yeah, it tends to put people off, doesn't it?
Always.
Yes, it's there, it's fine, yeah. So there was a lot of boys involved, not girls, of course.
No girls at all. No, it was an all male. I can't remember when the girls got involved with the scout movement in Tosley. I don't know. Probably after I left Tosley.
So did you go into the scouts then? You were a cop?
Yes, in 1942 I joined the scouts.
Was that a different set of people? Were they?
Well, an older set of people, obviously, yeah. Mm. Yeah. One of my first memories is the big house, the bottom of Hill Foot, opposite the Crown Inn. That was where we met for our, that was our patrol den, in one of the room above the stables, I think it was. But as regards the main meeting hall, I can't remember until we went to the huts that were built on the sick on the sick opposite the cricket inn in the field on the cricket. The sick is the field outside the cricket inn.
The recreation,
that's called the sick. Well, there were three huts. Just excuse me, I'm going to cough. Mm-hmm. There were three huts built for people if they were bombed out. And we had the one nearest the road.
Whereabouts on the field were they?
The top left-hand corner from the pub.
Right,
opposite side from the pavilion. Further up to the left of the pavilion. Yeah.
Not so wet up there, is it? Because it's quite wet.
No, that's right.
It's
very wet down at the bottom. That's right. Right in the top, right left-hand corner. Yes, near the house.
Mm.
But as I said, there were three huts, and we had the top one. We used the top one. I can never remember anyone moving in, but people that were bombed out. I never remember anyone moving in. But during the war, obviously, we had the paratroops. They were in tents on the rifle range, and also in tents on the recreation ground.
Oh, were they?
The paratroopers training to go to Arnhem and into the war. Yeah.
So, did you have anything to do with them?
Well, we used to speak to them. We weren't involved with them. Obviously, spoke to them. And I can remember them going to the chip shop on the rise. They used to get on the bus at the top of Tottenham at Cross Rise, and instead of waiting for the bus to stop, they used to jump off and do the paratroop roll on and go to the chip shop.
Yeah. Did they?
Yeah, yeah. They never waited for the bus to stop.
So as little boys, how did you view the soldiers? What were you? What was your idea about the soldiers?
I thought they were absolutely wonderful, but obviously they didn't. We knew there was the war were on, but to us it was a big game more than anything.
So was there much talk about what was happening in the war?
Well, obviously we had the Blitz in Sheffield, and that was very bad. I never went to town to see the damage, but we knew all about it. And obviously our parents, my father was in the, he was doing war work. He was a smith in a firm at Ely. So obviously he was doing war work. But we didn't really talk about it much. We collected the aircraft names and things like that, and we made model aeroplanes and did the usual thing little boys do.
Yes.
But I can't really say we were worried about it or doing anything like that.
No. I suppose there wasn't the news that there is now, was
it? No, it wasn't. We did have the radio, and we knew what was going on, but not as we just accepted it, and we weren't as worried as we are nowadays.
Yes.
1942, as I say, we joined the Scout, and one of the best things I did, we walked from Totley to Hathersage because we didn't have transport, and we pulled what they call the trek cart all the way from Totley to Hathersage to a farm, Dunwoods Farm, which is in between Adney and Hathersage. And all that way we pulled this trek cart with all our gear on it. Yeah, we had a marvellous time.
What is a trek cart? You'd have to describe this thing.
Well, it's a man-operated thing, big wheels and a big barrel with handles at the front that two lads manhandled, and ropes on the thing as well, and everybody pulling and pushing. And
Team effort. So you just had your gear on it, did you?
No? All our, the tents and our personal belongings, and yes, all pots and pans. Yeah, marvellous time, marvellous.
Was that for a camp? So you camped there? And then
yeah, we were there for a week, or I don't think it was longer, for a week. But we went every year after that to Hathersage, to the same campsite. And we were there in 1944, and someone came and told us that D-Day had happened. Somebody came, and we were camping when it was D-Day, yeah.
What was the reaction to that? Can you remember?
Well, everybody cheered and danced about and thought it was absolutely wonderful. And then 1945, obviously the war ended, and before the dual carriageway was built on Totley Rise, it was just the old road, and they had a bonfire where the dual carriageway is, a big bonfire and all the celebrations when the VE Day.
Yes, because I suppose there were very few cars. There's not going to be any.
No, I think there's only one car. And when I lived on Greenock Road, I think if there were two cars at that time, that was pushing it. Yeah. No cars.
So there was big celebrations, party,
yes,
and
they made. How the parents made the party, I don't know, because they were the food rationing. Yeah.
You remember that, the food rationing?
Oh, the food rationing. Well, that was even the clothing. Coupon, we had clothing coupons as well, and we went to the scout for this camp that I went to. We went to the scout shop on Tippett Lane, and my mother paid coupons, clothing coupons, so that I could have a sleeping bag. Yeah, so I was honoured.
So when did the scout hut get built then, do you think? When was that?
Well, it must have been.
And where was it?
It was built on Hall Lane at the side of the church. But it must have been 46, 47. Something like 1946 or 1947. It must have been some time then. But as regards who built it, I just do not know.
Do you remember it being built? Or is...
Vaguely. Mm. Vaguely. Obviously, I was working at this time because I started work on the 17th of September 1945. When I was 14, straight into the steelworks. I wasn't actually doing any steelwork, I was only an office boy until I got started on my apprenticeship. But the scout hut must have been built at that particular time, 46, 47, something like that. And I did help. I remember making a door for a cupboard that I think was the electrical meters or something like that, either gas meters or electrical meters. I made a cupboard door for this thing. Other than that, I can't remember much about it. I know it was a good hook.
Well, if they could move it if from they where did it was.
If they did move it down to behind Green Oak Road.
Do you think they did?
Well, I think they must have done, but obviously you're going to ask someone else. The only person yes. I can think of you asking is Derek Maltby.
Derek Maltby, yeah.
Yeah. Because obviously I left Totley in 1956 to get married. And from 1945 to 56, I was at work and doing the things young men do,
yes.
Going to dances and God knows what.
So tell me about starting work at 14.
I was always interested in woodwork. We had a woodwork class at school, and my father tried to get me a job for a woodworking firm. Oh, I should have left school at Easter, but I couldn't get a job, so I stayed on until July. And my father came home from work one day and he said, I've got you a job and you can start in September. And it was a Hadfield's East Eckler Works, which is now under Meadow Hall. And I don't know if you've ever been to Meadow Hall and seen the men, the models of the men pouring the steel. Well, I've seen them under that time and quite a lot of time. Anyway, as I say, I was only 14 and it was a shock to the system to come to the noisy steelwork, and it was noisy. But I used to catch the bus at 20 to 7 from the end of Glover Road, change, go to Pond Street, and then walk from Pond Street up to Fitzalan Square, and then catch the tram from Fitzalan Square to Vulcan Road. To be there for 7:30. And at that time we still worked Saturday morning. So it was a 48-hour week. I don't know, and then from 48 it went to 45 hours, I think. And then to 42 hours. But obviously that was in the years to come.
So what did you do when you first started?
Oh, well, I was in the post office. It was a very, very big firm. I mean, the foundry was a quarter of a mile long. It was a big firm. Thousands of people employed there, and obviously the war had finished, but they were still, as far as I know, making armaments. And I was in the post office, and I had to take the mail. I'm one of many young lads that had to take the mail to the different departments around the firm. And I had to go into the machine shops, into the, oh dear, they call it the tub shop. For that, they used to make colliery tubs. And it was very, very noisy anyway, and for a young lad, to go into these noisy workshops. It was a bit frightening at times, but obviously you got used to it eventually.
I can imagine it being quite intimidating.
Yeah. Yes, it was. Oh, and there's something that's just dawned on me. When I finally went into the pattern shop to do my apprenticeship, obviously you have to go to the toilet occasionally. You were allowed 7 minutes. They timed you. Yeah. And then if you're alone, somebody used to come up and bang on the door. You're 7 minutes. Yeah.
Did that apply to everybody?
Everybody, yeah.
So even those heroes in that piece of art that's in Meadow Hall, even they had to wag.
Well, I don't know when that finished it, but that was the case when I was there, just after the war. Yeah.
I mean, they must have been concerned about productivity, mustn't
they? Oh, yeah.
About,
yeah.
You know, that this was a really important product.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my job, when I finally went into the pattern shop to start my apprenticeship, you were on piecework and you had to do, you were given a time for a job. And if you didn't do it in that time, you lost money. There was a bit. It was hard.
So you got an apprenticeship then?
Yes, and yes, I've still got the certificate to prove that I was an apprentice pattern maker, yeah.
And how old were you then when you were apprenticed?
Well, I should have done my national service when I was 18, but I was deferred until I was 21, which was 1952. I can't remember when I actually got the certificate for my apprenticeship, but anyway, I went to the army, national service in the army from 1952 to 1954. Oh, going in the army, that was the day after King George VI died. He died on February the 6th, 1952. I went in on February the 7th, straight up to Catterick in the winter, and it was a bit cold up in Catterick.
But it was.
And then I was a wireless operator, trainee wireless operator, and then I went to Germany, and I was in Germany near Hanover, a place called Hildesheim, and then they always said never volunteer for anything, but I volunteered to go and join to be attached to the lifeguard at a place called Wolfenbüttel, just outside Brunswick, which was not far from the Harz Mountains, and we used to go skiing in the Harz Mountains on our time off, because I had a wonderful time in the army. Oh.
A complete change from what you were doing. You were working in Stewart's, and suddenly you're a wireless operator.
Yeah, having a marvellous time in my life.
Yes.
And then I came out in 1952, and I met my previous wife, and we got married in 1956, and we went to live up at Gleadler, and my two boys, they were born, Stuart and Blaine. They're now both in their 50s, with children of their own, and my first marriage lasted until 76, and then we parted, we got divorced, and I lived on my own for quite a while, and then I met my present wife Anne, and I'd met her a long time before, and we became very friendly, and then we got married in 08. 25 years ago. What's right. 25 from 2011?
My maths is not that good. Yeah. I can't do
you
that.
You worked it out. Okay. So anyway, that we will have been married next year, 25 years, our second marriage. And then I lived at Selly Avenue, which is Beechy. And then we came here to present address in 6 years in September. So that was 2005. And so that's it really. But I still see one or two old people from Totley, including John Perkington, of course. But as a group, to know what happened to a lot of them. I mean, friends of mine, they used to be at the orphanage, Charity Orphanage.
Ah.
Yes, I went to old school with a lot of the children from Charity Orphanage.
Do you remember any names?
Yes, or? Peter Mills, Sonia Mills, somebody Robinson. Forgotten his name, his first name, but he went to Netheredge Grammar School, this Robinson, and he used to go to the prisoner of war camp up at Lodge Moor to talk to the Germans, prisoners of war, because they took German at school, so he wanted to improve
his German. Perhaps his German.
Yeah. But Peter Mills, this old pal of mine, I would love to know what happened to him. We were issued with gas masks during the war, and we used to walk home together from All Saints School and then walk down Mickley Lane. He going up to Charity Orphanage and me down onto Green Oak Road, and he used to kick his gas mask in the box down the road. Yeah.
Drop it on the floor, yeah, and kick it along.
Kick it down, yeah.
So, did you ever go to the orphanage?
I did, but not a lot, and I can't remember anything about it at all. Yeah, a lot of my friends were there. Oh, Kathleen Hill. Oh, what she was. What happened to her? Another girl.
Yes, I suppose you grow up, don't you, and you get on with your life. And
yeah. Yeah. Well, other names. Just remember another name. Brian Pearson, who lives on Main Avenue. He lives across the road from John Perkington. I was in the scouts with him.
So
you want to have words with Brian.
Yes, oh right.
Because he might know something about when the scout was moved, he might. Because he, as far as I know, he might have moved from Totley though when he was first married. I can't remember, he'll have to ask you. But then Raymond Pearson, he lived on the Green, and his father had the nursery, which was at the side of the Heatherfield Club.
Where the library is now.
Near where the library is. There's some, are there apartments or some?
Yes, there are.
There's used to be the nursery. That was his father. That was Brian Pearson's father's nursery. And Pearson's was a big family. They had St. George's Farm at Totley, which is across the road from Charity Orphanage. Then another part of the family lived up at Jumpier Woodhouse. That was another part of Pearson's.
They've still got the market garden at the top there, haven't they, Pearson's? So was they owned that at the same time as they owned St. George's?
It was different parts of the family.
Yeah.
And then there were some other Pearson's as well. I mean, my mother was friends with someone that lived at the corner of Oldham Road and Green Oak Road. That was another member of the Pearson family. So there was a big family. But I've often wondered what happened to Raymond Pearson and his sister. I don't know, it was Kathleen or Margaret, I can't remember now.
And what do you remember of the shops in Totley? Because that's on
the Totley Rise?
Yeah, wherever.
I used to work in the chip shop, chopping chips, I don't know where we rumbled the potatoes first and took the eyes out and then chipped them. I can't really remember, but I did work in the chip shop once or twice.
Who was the fish fryer then? Who was the
that owner? Was Hoppy Shaw, Mr. Shaw. I don't really got a false leg, or just one of his legs was funny or what, but we used to call him Hoppy Shaw.
What was he like to work for?
I can't really remember. Mrs. Wint was one of the shops.
What shop did she run?
I don't. Was that the sweet shop or what? I can't remember. Mrs. Barge.
What were they like? These people.
Well, they were nice old shops. The sweet shop, was that Mrs. Mrs. Spring. I'm getting mixed up.
Yeah. So was it a little
Chambers? Oh yes, Chambers Fish Shop.
Yeah.
That was a good one. Yeah. The post office. Mrs. Jackson at the post office.
What was she like?
She's always seemed very abrupt. Howard Jackson, he still lives in Totley. He lives on Rowan Tree Dell, as far as I know.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Howard Jackson on Rowan Tree Dell.
Yes. Other people have said Mrs. Jackson was a little bit of
a
stickler.
That's right.
Snappy. You wondered how you defended her.
Yes, that's it. That's how she comes across. Yes, it was a bit. She seemed very strict. Yeah.
So people did all their shopping then locally.
Yes, on the rise, obviously the little corner shops on the rise. But then there was a co-op at the top of Mickley Lane. That's where we did most of our shopping, as far as I know. When my mother first went there, it was during the Depression, and they hadn't much work. My father hadn't much work, rather, and she went there. And she had an account. Then she had to pay at the end of the week. They used to deliver the food, apparently. And then when she got the money, she could pay for it.
I suspect a lot of people had to do that.
I can still remember my mother's divvy number, 37586.
You used to go off.
Oh, I used to go. Yeah, yeah.
And is it the same building?
The co-op building is still there, it has altered a bit, obviously, yeah. Mm. But then there was other shops. I mean, Mr. Wesley, the newsagent.
Where was he?
That was just higher up from the co-op, in between the co-op and the Etherfield Club. There were some shops just there. I think one used to be a chemist. That was next door to the newsagent's, Mr. Yeah.
Yeah, there's the co-op, then there's a new house that's been built.
Yeah.
And then there's the two
shops.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, one of them used to be the chemist, and one was the newsagent. Yeah.
I think it was there's a cafe now in both of them. They've just taken over both of those shops.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was a shop in between, was there? In between the co-op and the chemist?
No, not in between. No, that house. That was a new house.
Right. So was that just spare land? That was just...
Yes, as far as I know. But that's something else. It's just with the same bare land. Obviously, when we moved to Totley in 1933, the last corporation house, brick-built corporation house, was number 41. And after 41, right up to Main Avenue, it was all fields. And then, was it during the war or just after the war, they built the prefabs. But before they built the prefabs, as I say, it was fields, and we used to play in the fields. But I can remember the big old steamroller parked up before they made the road through. And also before the prefabs were built, my father had an allotment. As you went up towards Main Avenue on the old track from Green Oak Road up towards Main Avenue, there were some allotments on your right hand side, and the stream between the Green Oak Park there was a stream separating Green Oak Park from the allotment, and my father had one of those allotments. But then there was a big old barn that was still there when he had the allotment, but it was knocked down.
So the barn was on this side of the stream, the Green Oak.
It was on the right. It was on the left hand side of the stream, going up towards Oldham, up towards Main Avenue.
Because it's very wet down there at the bottom of the Green Oak Park. It's really boggy and wet. So there was a stream.
There was a stream that ran right down. Yeah.
They must have disrupted that, mustn't they, when they built the when they built all the new houses.
Oh, they must have done, yeah.
It's not a stream there now, it's just very wet. Yes, yes. Well, we've covered a lot of ground, haven't we?
Well, I hope so. I hope I've helped out a bit.
Yes, you have. It's been very interesting. Is there anything else that you wanted to say, you could remember, that we haven't talked about?
No, not really, no. I shall probably think of a lot more when you've gone.
Well, if you do, you could always ring me up and say, I've got other memories. So thank you ever so much, Frank.
Not at all. You're very welcome. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.